Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. I want to thank those of you that were able to join us on Friday night for our annual Spring Freedom Banquet, as we had a wonderful event at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton as we focused on our veterans, giving them honor, and of course focusing on the D-Day Prayer Project, the effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Johnson gave our keynote address. Author and historian Bill Fetter was there. A number of other dignitaries, State Senator Larry Obaugh was on hand. A number of state representatives, state senators were there. And we're glad that a number of you were able to join us as well. And of course, we had special guests, World War II veterans. We actually had Mr. Bill Miller, who's a resident of Fairlawn, who was a veteran of the Utah Beach landings. He's actually 96 years old, drove himself to the banquet, and is actually attending the D-Day observance in Normandy next month on June 6th with President Trump over there in Normandy, France. We also had veteran Frank Ninny. Also, a number of other veterans were with us as well. It was a wonderful evening. And again, kicking off the national campaign to fund the addition of this wonderful presidential prayer at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. You can learn more about it and make a contribution of any size, because it must be paid for by private donations, not by tax dollars. So that's what we're doing with the D-Day Prayer Project. The website is ddayprayerproject.org. Again, that's ddayprayerproject.org, or just visit the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Well, this program, we're going to talk about legislative issues. We're going to talk about our state issues, things to look for and watch out for, as obviously there's some disturbing trends, not only on the federal level, but also locally as well, that we're going to have to take a look at down at the Ohio State House. A lot of good things happening, of course, with the heartbeat bill passing last month. But we have news on that today, is unfortunately, and as expected, Planned Parenthood and the ACLU of Ohio have filed suit against the heartbeat bill. And with that now begins what was anticipated, the legal fight and the legal battle on the heartbeat bill in the courts. But last year, we had the opportunity of a contested Senate primary race here in Ohio on the Republican side of the ticket, and we had two fine individuals that were battling it out for the nomination to represent the Republican Party for the U.S. Senate race. And with us on the phone is one of those candidates, Mike Gibbons, who distinguished himself as a first-time candidate running for U.S. Senate. Mike, of course, has made a very impressive career here as a businessman in the local Cleveland area, and he made an appeal to Ohio voters across the state of Ohio. And I've asked Mike to join me on the program today to talk about and give us an update of what he's doing now, what his thoughts were about the campaign last year and running for the U.S. Senate as a first-time candidate. And, of course, he really left an impression with a lot of grassroots groups across the state of Ohio who were very impressed with Mike's story of really coming from humble beginnings and being able to climb the corporate ladder with really hard work and sweat and toil, but at the same time, seeing how ingenuity and commitment, you really can live the American dream. And he shared that story. It resonated with a lot of Ohioans. They liked his ideas, his conservatism, and they supported him in the primary. He had a very strong showing. He did not win the Republican primary, but he is still staying engaged. We're going to learn about that. And with me on the phone right now is Mr. Mike Gibbons. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Good to be here.
Well, Mike, it's great to have you back. And last year we had you on to talk about your campaign. Again, as I stated in our opening statement, that many people were impressed with your presentation as you really went out and spoke to people all across the state of Ohio in all these grassroots groups. I heard great reports and returns coming back whenever you would go to speak someplace. People say, boy, I really like that Mike Gibbons. And these are some key leaders. I know that Cody Regal down there in Ashland, Ohio, the Ashland Coalition, a key group down there, and other places in Southwest Ohio and all across the state, really, there was no group that you wouldn't go to. You really turned the wheels on that car of yours and got out and spoke to Ohioans. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it was, my wife, believe it or not, went to about 90% of those speaking engagements with me. And I think we both felt that we met just a tremendous number of great people. We've got friends we never would have had, and we've heard things that we probably never would have heard, found out what's important to people, and it turned out that a lot of things were important to them were important to me, and actually was why I was running. And I think I learned a lot. I think that if I would have had another 6 months under my belt campaigning, the results may have been different. But when it came right down to it, I didn't have the support of the state, federal, or even my own county's Republican Party. And in the end, that was the deciding factor. With 2 weeks to go, I was told by a number of people that the polls they had seen showed I was ahead. And I think our president, who I'm a strong supporter of, came out and made the case to vote for my opponent, who is a fine guy. He's a Republican, and I'm certainly not going to say anything negative about it. But it was the machinery of the party that didn't seem not to prefer me. And I'm not quite sure why. I'm still not sure what the real reason was, other than the fact that I think they understood that I wasn't a party guy as much as I'm a conservative. And I believed in telling the truth about everything, no matter whether you wanted to hear it or not. And that they thought was a bit polarizing from what we hear. And they thought as a first time candidate that my opponent would have been better facing Sherrod Brown than I would have been. And I don't agree with that, but who am I? And who knows what's going to happen in the future? I have no plans, but I think in the end, Donald Trump came out and supported my opponent. And I found that a bit odd in the sense that I was Donald Trump's financial co-chair in the state and made a strong effort to help him in his campaign. And what I've since found out is he had no idea I was on the other side of the campaign, that he was, I was the opponent of the guy he was promoting. He really had no idea who I was and was never told. And he did what he was supposed to do. And, it's important we get Republicans in no matter what. So it's, and I might add, I think it's important we get conservatives in, not just Republicans. And sometimes Republicans are conservative and sometimes they're not. And I think one of my disappointments in one of the reasons I ran was that oftentimes we elect people that say they believe in one thing and then get into office and turn around and don't support the things they said they would. And that's something I think is unacceptable. I'm going to fight that till the day I die. Right.
Well, Mike, you actually had strong support on both the conservative side and the social conservative side of the Republican base. You ran again in the primary, so we don't know how you would have fared in the general election. But I think you make a strong case that you could have done as well or better than the nominee that won the primary. And as you said, many people were asking the president not to endorse in that primary because you were a strong supporter of the president as well. You demonstrated that during his campaign in 2016. And I agree with you. It seems as if the president was unaware that you were in this race, and things do get skewed. And I'm sure you've got an education,
Sure did.
You know, like the bumper sticker says, if you think education is experience, try ignorance. But, you know, you're no longer ignorant, Mike, of the facts when it comes to politics, when you're very knowledgeable about business and a lot of the things that you've spent time doing in your life, helping betterment of community works and projects. Now you have another notch in your belt because you're a little wiser up when it comes to the political landscape. I think that's important for conservatives, and I think that's what you're saying is, you know, even more so than a political label, I'm a conservative. You know, I hear Sean Hannity say that. He says, look, I'm a conservative. You know, he doesn't say, you know, I'm a Republican. He says, I'm a conservative, which may be that he's going to vote Republican if that Republican is a conservative. Not all Republicans are conservative, and there are a few Democrats that are conservative, but they normally get knocked out in primaries, what we used to call the blue dog Democrats, that would align with a lot of what we believe. If they're pro-life, if they're pro-family, if they're fiscal conservatives, a lot of times they get knocked out in a primary. So, you know, the way the two-party system is shaking out now, Democrats have taken a hard left. There's no doubt about that. In fact, actually almost to the lunatic side when we look at abortion in the states of Virginia and New York. And, of course, Alabama made a large shout-out last night by banning abortion, challenging Roe v. Wade with a state law. It's game on. We're going to have this debate in this country. And that leads me to my next question for you, Mike, because I thought something that was very unfair. You and I got a chance to sit down, have some lengthy conversations. And everyone knows where the Ohio Christian Alliance stands solidly as a pro-life organization. We believe that life begins at conception, that all human life is worthy of protection under law, including nascent human life. And so we vet candidates with our surveys and with questionnaires and candidate forums, and I had personal conversation with you. I know your story. I know that you're pro-life. I got to say that I was upset to see that some of your opponents weighed in and said, oh, Mike Gibbons is not pro-life. That is the disgusting side of politics. When we call foul as a referee, we're going to call it out. And that's why we did a voter guide that shows you in support of the heartbeat bill, support of pro-life positions. And I thought that that was, I know that upset you because you've had a lifetime of being pro-life. Your thoughts on that line of thought?
Well, you know, I think we've talked about this, and I early in the first call I had from the AP, we got an extended discussion about my views on life, and it was twisted. You know, the woman reporter was very argumentative because I kept focusing on convincing the mothers. We need to win their hearts and minds. I started out by saying I'm pro-life without exception, and in my particular case, I've talked to you about this a number of times. My mom was adopted, and she was very embarrassed of that. And I was raised a Roman Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic now, and I always felt that the church did not do a very good job with convincing mothers. They were strongly in favor of the mother, they thought it was essential and part of our religion that the mother would have the baby, but then they shamed the mother, and that troubled me. And that's kind of what my mother was a victim of. She always felt that she did not want to mention the fact she was adopted. I didn't know she was adopted until she was 12 years old, because somehow that related to her mother, who it was not acceptable in the old Roman Catholic religion. And I think a lot of that's changed. But I emphasized that. I thought how important it was to treat women that made the right decision, as if what they really are is heroines, and they should be treated that way. And she found issue. She said, well, you know, you sound like you're very much more interested in the mothers than the children. And I said, well, ma'am, it's the mothers that make the decision. And if we're going to reduce abortions, which we have done, we've successfully reduced abortions from over 1.5 million, down to the 800,000-ish level in the country. And we've done it with Roe v. Wade in place. And a lot of that is because we've convinced them that they need to do what the right thing is. And the only way you do that is making sure we support these young women that find themselves in a position of pregnancy and support them all through that.
But your opponent your opponents took opportunity to take a mischaracterization of your statements and positions by an AP reporter and use that as a campaign tool to beat you up with, to say that you're not pro-life. Mike, that was very damaging to your campaign. I think it's disgusting. It's the kind of thing that people are really turned off by.
Well, I think I can tell you I was a novice, and I never knew I was putting myself in that position until it was over. Once it was actually printed, now that woman printed in her article or in her release, I don't even think it was an article, that I was pro-life. But then another reporter from the Washington Examiner described me as another one of these ideologically flexible Republicans, much as Donald Trump. Well, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not particularly flexible. And in fact, I'm not flexible at all about certain things, and abortion is one of them. But the woman had defined me as pro-people. And I said, well, sure, I'm pro-people, aren't you? And when she put that in the article, and he took that to mean that I was pro-choice, he then put that I was pro-choice in his article, and then retracted it. Because we got on it right away, but it was too late. And once it's printed, it is fair game for any politician.
Well, and that's why the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey and voter guide puts you as a pro-life candidate. You did receive endorsements from pro-life organizations.
Yes.
They understood the difference. But I'm talking about your campaign opponents, the candidates that ran against you. They mischaracterized your position, and I find that to be distasteful and basically, disgusting and actually a big turnoff when people do that, because it wasn't the truth. You made that clear on numerous occasions, and of course with the candidate surveys with the Ohio Christian Alliance and other organizations. So again, I just thought that we needed to cover that because, sure. You are pro-life And that's why I thought that was just one of those things that happens during campaigns.
It sure does, and anybody that's going to run better be aware of that and choose their words very carefully, because they will twist them. And once it's printed, even if it's a mistake, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
And there was some, they said that I had said things which. There's actually still a law in the books in Ohio that's an actionable offense. But the damage was done. The election was over. And I just decided to walk away and with lesson learned, I guess.
Well, and we appreciate you taking time to talk with us about that. So last year was a great, opportunity for you. I mean, you did go out there and meet with a lot of Ohioans. You said how that really, you enjoyed the campaign trail. You enjoyed meeting with people all across the state of Ohio, all walks of life. That resonated with people in all these various groups who basically, we got feedback, very positive feedback, when they heard you come and share with them. And quite honestly, some other candidates didn't resonate as well with people, but you really did. So let's talk about what you're going to do going forward, because that was great experience for you to run. You run very well in that U.S. Senate primary race. What does Mike Gibbons have planned right now?
Well, we started a super PAC, and it's called Ohio Strong Action. I put the initial funds in, and we intend to raise additional funds. I've got two real motivations here. We need to get Donald Trump reelected as president, and it is essential to the future of this country. We are in a very precarious position. And when you said almost lunacy before about the left wing right now, I would go so far as to say it isn't almost. It's completely lunacy. We even have people like Elizabeth Warren proposing economic plans that would literally devastate the nation. I mean, she has no understanding whatsoever of economics. She has no understanding of the capital markets. It's been my life's work. It's sad that somebody on a national stage could even propose these things. And it's extremely dangerous. And, you know, almost the only thing you have to talk about is and mention, understand how important it is that Donald Trump be reelected. It's Supreme Court. Hmm. That's all you have to say.
Yes.
And you know, the federal judges that are being put in place, you know, the Obama administration put a left-wing cabal in place throughout the federal judiciary. We need to offset that. This country is not culturally where the left thinks we are. We are in, you know, and I think Sean Hannity does talk about it. I mean, we're in a culture war here. We're in a effectively a civil war, and hopefully it'll be without arms, of course. But we've got to make the left and the right coasts understand that the rest of the country doesn't actually believe what they believe in, and there's more of us than there are of them. And they have to understand that. You know, and then there are people even, you know, at the functional level of the Republican Party, all the way down to central committees, that I believe do not share conservative beliefs as most of the Republican Party does. And I believe those people have to be taken out of office. And I'm going to work actively to do that in those cases. And this super PAC is going to work very actively in those two directions and do what we can to make sure that when we are voting for a Republican ticket, we're getting what we thought we were voting for.
Mike, I got to say, you know, I'm so glad that you're staying engaged, because what we've seen in the past, we've seen first-time candidates get in, people that have been successful in business and in life, and they try the political waters, and they may not be successful the first time, and they actually just pack their bags and leave, and you never hear from them again. I'm so glad that we're going to continue to hear from Mike Gibbons, that you're going to stay engaged and be involved, because we need your voice, friend. I mean, you really resonated with a lot of people. You have very important things to say. You have great ideas, and people need to hear those ideas. I'm so glad, Mike. And again, I said, Mike Gibbons is a stand-up guy, and you're proving that by what you're doing, by staying engaged. And you know, and so let me ask you this next question. How do you think the president's doing, and then how do you go about helping him win in 2020?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, my opponents also used the fact that I said I'm not Donald Trump's style, and I'm not. In fact, I don't know anybody else that quite has the style that Donald Trump has. And a lot of people don't like it and are turned off by it. I'm not going to say I like it, but what I'm going to say is, let's look at what he's accomplished. And if we start looking at what he's accomplished, there should be nobody that anybody votes for other than Donald Trump. Hmm. And yes, we're going to have to listen to his Twitters and see his Twitters, but we need to make sure this man goes another 4 years.
We're talking with Mike Gibbons, former U.S. Senate candidate primary challenger from 2018, but staying engaged with a super PAC, and as a citizen of Ohio, a businessman that's going to be weighing in. Mike, we're going to have you back. We've run out of time today. Thanks for being my guest today,
well,
Mike Gibbons.
Talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend. God bless you and bless your family. Thank you.
Same to you, Chris. Thank you.
Well, again, that's Mike Gibbons, and he's going to be staying engaged. And I know that many of you supported Mike for his Senate campaign last year, and we'll be giving you some updates. We'll have some information for you as well. We'll have Mike back on the program. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be talking about policy at the Ohio State House and on the federal level with our attorney, Josh Brown, and also with board member Al Davis. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Roundtable.
When?
Roundtable.
When?
Roundtable.
When?
Be part of the discussion. Roundtable with George Sitari every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 1220 The Word. The roundtable discussion of today's hot issues covering federal, state, and local with George Sitari. Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. WHKWradio.com, 1220 The Word. Get your seat at George's Roundtable now.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to give you an Ohio Christian Alliance legislative update. With me on the phone is our attorney, Josh Brown, from Columbus, Ohio, also board member, Pastor Al Davis, and we're going to be talking about some of the legislative pieces that have been introduced at the Ohio State House. We can check the box on the heartbeat bill. After 8 years of attempts, we finally got it passed and signed into law by Governor Mike DeWine last month. But there's news update. As expected, there has been a lawsuit filed against the heartbeat bill. And now begins the long and arduous journey through the courts. We're also going to talk about the so-called Ohio Fairness Act, which is basically a SOGI law, that's sexual orientation, gender identity bill protection. This would be disastrous for religious liberty in the state of Ohio. We're also going to talk about the Pastor Protection Act, the Pastor and Church Protection Act. State Senator Andy Brenner is circulating that bill for co-sponsors in the Ohio Senate, and we'll have some action items for you to call your state senator, asking them to be a co-sponsor of the legislation. With that, let's go to the phone line with Attorney Josh Brown. Josh, what happened today down in Columbus and also with this lawsuit that was filed?
Hi, Chris. So the Planned Parenthood and a number of abortions and one doctor in the abortion clinics, some ACU attorneys representing them, they filed a complaint today. The complaint is to ask the judge for an injunction on enforcement of the heartbeat bill. So the attorney general will have 60 days to reply to that. They say that it's unconstitutional and that's not... that's going to be irreparable harm to any women that are not able to get abortions. There's also an application for a temporary restraining order, which will block enforcement of the law immediately. So I don't know when the judge is going to take that up, but in normal situations, temporary restraining order would be ruled on immediately by the judge, like even same day. So we could get an order as soon as today or in the coming days on a temporary restraining order. That issue isn't really necessary because the law doesn't go into effect until June 10th. So the judge may delay making a decision on it because he's got some time. But that's the immediate thing the attorney general has to deal with. In long term, he's got 60 days to do the response. And then that will be scheduled for argument. And that could be months and months down the line. We don't know.
I'm reading from the lawsuit itself here. It says in point number 4 and 5, as you're describing, the Ohio legislature passed the ban on April 10th of this year. Governor Mike DeWine signed the bill on the 11th. If the ban takes effect as scheduled on July 10th, it will instantly criminalize the performance of almost all abortions in Ohio, according to the Planned Parenthood ACLU lawsuit. Governor Mike DeWine acknowledged that the ban is blatantly unconstitutional and has stated that the ban is an opportunity to advocate for reversal of existing legal precedents unless this court, according to this lawsuit, states, unless the court grants a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction and later a permanent injunction, plaintiffs will be forced to turn away patients seeking abortion care. This is a direct violation of patients' fundamental constitutional right, right to decide whether to have an abortion or kill the baby or not. So here we go with the let's kill our children crowd. The Planned Parenthood and ACLU have filed a suit, folks, against the heartbeat bill, and they have filed it in the United States District Court, Southern District Court of Western Division. So tell us about the makeup of this court, Josh.
Well, the judge, I actually don't know which judge it's going to be assigned to yet, so I can't tell you exactly what to expect there, but...
Let me guess. I know that you're an agent of the court as a licensed attorney, so let's say that they did a little court shopping here and that for a favorable decision from them. So I think we can anticipate that they're going to be granted their injunction in this kind of business. And folks, that's why elections mean something, because the president gets to nominate the judges to the federal bench. Now you can understand why Chuck Schumer and company on the Senate level have been filibustering Donald Trump's nominees to the federal bench. So if you're pro-life and you don't want to see babies killed, continue to support the president for another 4 years so he can stack these courts with people that love the unborn and don't want to see them murdered. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
Well, you're absolutely right, Chris, because, you know, as Christians, we've got to be involved. We've got to not only pray for our country, but we've got to put some action to our prayers. We've got to get out and vote. We've got to hold these elected officials accountable. We've got to support President Trump. And when you look at what he's done in the courts and even the Ninth District out there in California, the changes that have come to that court, you know, since the new appointments and our own Supreme Court, or the U.S. Supreme Court, it's making a difference. And as these laws get to the courts to challenge the very heart of the Roe versus Wade decision, it's going to be those new judges, I think, that are going to sway it over into the side of life.
Well, ultimately, what's going to happen, this is going to be thrown back to the states. The court is probably going to make some kind of decision that will relegate it back to the states, unlike what the court should have done in the Obergefell decision on homosexual marriage, so-called. Should have sent it back to the states in a libertarian move. But no, they got to allow Kennedy to have his day in the sun, who was schooled out there in California. His mentor actually was a homosexual attorney. I mean, if you look in the Bay Area of San Francisco, so he was the justice that wrote the chief decision on striking down the sodomy laws of Texas, also wrote the major decision of striking down the California DOMA law, Defense of Marriage Act, and then the trifecta, he wrote the majority opinion on Obergefell and granting this new observance of a union that never existed in humankind in 6,000 years of world history, two men or two women joining in marriage. That's ridiculous. And that was Justice Kennedy. So again, if we understand the influences upon the court, they should have sent that back to the states. So places like Ohio, that basically passed a DOMA back in 2004 and also a constitutional amendment defining marriages between one man and one woman, maybe we wouldn't have Arthur, the PBS children's program, having two of the characters getting married on TV. Your thoughts, Josh?
Well, I think that what we want from our judges, the judges who respect what the law says and are not trying to pursue their own policy preferences and legislate from the bench. And the shining example of that is Roe versus Wade, where you had a judge who, or a panel of judges who created a trimester system on their own, derived out of the Constitution a right to privacy and a right to abortion through that, which supposedly comes from the 14th Amendment, but
There's nothing in the text or the history of the amendment that was any of that's true. Same thing with the Obergefell decision. In fact, Justice Kennedy didn't even bother to use the analysis that's associated with the fundamental rights and the due process and equal protection analysis that he justified his opinion with. So the idea of reelecting President Trump and supporting him in this process is a paramount importance, because otherwise you're going to have legislation from the bench, and he supports judges that the law says care what the role of the courts as opposed to the role of the legislature. And those two opinions are two shining examples of the problem.
Well, that's right. And again, with us on the phone is Attorney Josh Brown and also Pastor Al Davis, board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And so, Josh, obviously here we're off and running with the ACLU and Planned Parenthood. By the way, not waiting until July 10th when the bill when the legislation becomes law. There has to be a three-month waiting period right before the law would actually become in effect. Any guess as to why they're filing today and not waiting a few weeks or around July when it becomes active? What's your thoughts there?
My guess is they're timing it based on the media reception. I don't know any particular process reason they would choose today. They probably just got it done today, and they probably wanted to file it on Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, because they don't want to have it buried in the press if it were filed on a Friday. So, and they probably want to get it done before the summer break, just to get as much publicity for their case as they could. So my guess is that has to do with why the timing is what it is.
Outside of us talking about it, though, I got to be honest with you. Everybody's talking about the Alabama bill. Isn't that right, Pastor? Everybody's talking about that.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, that was just Tuesday night that they passed that, and they said that is going to directly target the Roe versus Wade decision.
Absolutely. So if this lawsuit was filed to take away attention away from the Alabama case, forget it, done. It didn't happen. That's got the front page of the Drudge Report and Fox News and you name it, all talking about the Alabama law. It was on some other, both Hannity and, of course, Limbaugh were talking about it. With Limbaugh alone, that's 20 million listeners. So, they got lost in the shuffle. All that to say, they failed in their mission. And the pro-aborts failed in their mission to try to convince members of the Ohio General Assembly to vote against the heartbeat bill. We had strong support both in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. I wish I could say bipartisan support. I wish I could say that. And I know there are some pro-life Democrats, but they seem to be a minuscule minority these days, unfortunately. And, what happened to the days where you had Evan Bayh and a few other pro-life Democrats there, but not so much anymore, unfortunately. So, it seems to be one party is the party of life and the other party is the party of death, because they're advocating abortion up and through to the point in which a woman is dilated, according to the video in New York, with the legislator that says, yes, that my bill would allow for an abortion when the woman is dilated, about to give birth. And this was when she was questioned before the committee. So, folks, make no bones about it. That's where we're at today in America. And we're not giving up. It is a life organization that's pro-life and advocates for the unborn. We're going to be able to shout it out there over the airwaves. That's what we're doing today. You're listening to the Ohio Christian Alliance News and Focus broadcast. With me on the phone is Attorney Josh Brown, also Pastor Al Davis, board member. We're talking about legislative concerns at the Ohio State House and also on the federal level. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Okay, and we're back, and with us on the phone is Attorney Josh Brown and also Board Member Al Davis of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and we're talking about legislation at the Ohio State House. Gentlemen, let's talk about Senate Bill 11, this type of bill, the SOGI protection bill, sexual orientation, gender identity legislation gets introduced to each General Assembly. And so let's talk about this, because this time it's in the Senate. What it would do is sexual orientation, gender identity is basically would promote and allow for equal protection for those who are identified as certain sexual orientation or gender identity. And this would be disastrous for religious liberties, for Christian schools, ministries, businesses, doctors, nurses, athletes. We're talking about across the board. We've talked about this with attorneys in the past. David Gibbs, attorney David Gibbs, basically said, we fare much better in the courts in those states that don't have SOGI laws. Attorney Brown, please explain.
Yes, and a lot of states like Massachusetts right now, a lot of Catholic adoption agencies have had to leave the state. And because it violates their faith to facilitate certain adoptions, and this type of legislation is a road towards forcing people who have an honest and genuine faith, and not just Christian, but Jewish, Islam, pretty much every faith that's genuine to its roots, has certain beliefs about these things, and these types of bills are often designed to force people to comply with it. Probably the best example is when it went to the Supreme Court last year, and I was there when they heard the arguments on it. It was Jack Phillips, who is an artist who puts his art on cakes, and that art is customized to the client that orders that art. And he had people who wanted him to do art that celebrated gay marriage, which was something that he didn't believe in and didn't want to support. And that's analogous to, say, a Nazi asking a Jewish person to do artwork that celebrates Nazism. You should always be allowed to refuse to communicate messages that you don't agree with. So this bill, I know that Antonio worked out a lot of things with some Republicans in the past, but that's our fear, and there are a lot of problems in the bill itself and how it's written. So we've got to be vigilant about that and make sure we talk to our members and let them know how we feel about this.
Folks, so what we're asking you to do is call your state senator and urge them not to support SB 11, the so-called Ohio Fairness Act. Wow, you got to love that name. Right, Pastor Al? They come up with these slogan names, right? Yeah.
Who can be against fairness?
Who can be against fairness? Who can be against human rights? You know, so that's what you get with it. But, folks, that's not what it is here at all. You know, actually, it's just the opposite. It would be anything but fair to religious liberty and religious conscience in this state. So Look, there isn't discrimination. We've made this case over and over again. Employers will hire anyone, dependent, you know, indifferent of their sexual orientation. They may have a dress code. They may have a certain protocol. But certainly, if a certain person is same-sex attraction, that is not going to prevent you from renting. It's not going to prevent you from being hired in the state of Ohio, by and large. We've made this case time and time again before the committee that this is, you know, this is not a problem in the state of Ohio. So anyways, you know, we want you to call your state senator, urge them to vote no on Senate Bill 11 or just oppose it so it doesn't even get out of committee. We've had these assurances in the past. We have elected these people, by the way. We've asked them questions, where they stand on the Pastor's Protection Act, where we stand on the family. And as you just heard, like in the state of Massachusetts, Catholic Charities, when it comes to adoption agencies, had to pull out of the whole state of Massachusetts because they refused to adopt children to same-sex couples. Well, there's a reason for that, folks, because God designed the marriage as man and woman, and that a child needs the representation of both the feminine and the masculine in the family unit, in the nuclear family unit. And so that's why adoption services in the state of Massachusetts, they were forcing an agenda on them, and they had to pull out. Well, we're starting to hear troubled waters here in the state of Ohio with some of the organizations that work with disadvantaged children, that work with foster children. It's the same kind of, and these are Christian organizations that are being faced with a situation where they're forced to have homosexuals as their dorm parents. So, you know, this isn't, you know, something far off in the future. It's happening in real time. Pastor, your thoughts.
You're absolutely right, Chris. And when you think about this, they go under the guise of fairness, but it's not fair for people of faith, is it? You know, you're allowed to believe whatever you believe as long as it's deemed to be politically correct. And when we think about it, this is contrary to what our state legislatures are charged by the Ohio Constitution to do. They are expressly charged in Article 1, Section 7, that it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to pass suitable laws to protect every religious denomination in the peaceable enjoyment of its own mode of public worship, not to attack them.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, our Constitution affords us religious liberty and that it shall not be infringed. SB 11 would do just that. It would infringe on our religious conscience and our religious freedom that is guaranteed to us in the Ohio Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. Folks, we need to be vigilant on this one, and we need to tell your senator to vote no or oppose Senate Bill 11. Let's hope it never sees the light of day out of committee. Well, let's move on to the Pastor, Church, and Protection Act. Now, this is doesn't have a bill number yet. It does have a sponsor, State Senator Andy Brenner. We understand there's a couple of co-sponsors right now. Senator Huffman and Senator Rogner are co-sponsors, and Senator Brenner is seeking more co-sponsors on this legislation. Pastor, what will this do?
Well, I just quoted from the Ohio Constitution. I think this is a prime example of the state of Ohio taking the initiative in the State House to protect religious organizations in Ohio, because what it will do is it will, yes, the freedom of religion is there, but there's no freedom from legal harassment. There's nothing to prevent some activist organization from taking a church, a synagogue, religious organization, or a pastor to court and suing them, even though they may ultimately lose the case. Yet the church, the pastor, whoever is pilloried in the court of public opinion, and they're certainly stressed financially and all the difficulties that go in fighting a court case, and even though they may win the case, it's going to be a tremendous cost to their ministry. And the Pastor's Protection Act would forestall that by protecting them from even the threat of lawsuit.
That's what Attorney David Gibbs has said, that this is important to have this law in place. I've talked to pastors, and I said, should we move forward with this? And they said, Chris, move forward, because this is the most favorable environment currently with the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate to get this bill passed and signed into law by Governor DeWine, who indicated on the Ohio Christian Alliance candidate survey that he supports the Pastors Protection Act. Attorney Josh Brown, your thoughts.
Well, all the things that you talked about, especially that Fairness Act, it's all part of a procession of different things that they want to do to force, and they're not even shy about telling you this, they want to force people to accept their point of view about human sexuality and marriage. And at the end of the day, they're never going to stop. So we have to strike them out every time. They only have to hit a home run one time. So you got to be in touch with your members, and you got to pay attention to what's going on and bring that to the attention of people like Chris Long, because we want to publicize it. When you see a teacher or an official or whatever doing things that are trying to force that agenda, because it's out there, it's coming. And since the beginning of Christianity, we've had to fight for our faith, and it's no different today.
That's right. And thank you, Josh, on that. And that's what we're doing, folks, is being vigilant on legislative initiatives. Those pieces of legislation we favor, like the Pastors Protection Act, and those pieces of legislation that we oppose, like Senate Bill 11, which is a sexual orientation, gender identity legislative act that would actually infringe on your religious liberties here in the state of Ohio and really spell trouble legally for Christian schools, Christian organizations, and businesses across the state of Ohio, and people of conscience, religious conscience. And so that's what we're doing, is being vigilant for you at the Ohio State House and also on the federal level. You could visit us at our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance for these legislative updates. And so we do have a fine complement of legislators right now that are working on the state budget. But these other pieces of legislation, pro-life, pro-family legislation, we need to advance. And some legislation, folks, we're going to need to oppose, like Senate Bill 11, and then support the Pastors Protection Act. Well, thanks for joining us today. Josh, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your work at in Columbus on legal matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
And Pastor, thanks for serving on the board of the Ohio Christian Alliance and all you do.
Well, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, folks, for listening today. If you've missed any of today's program, you can always catch it in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.